Corseers of the Second Ether. The story so far. Having at last followed the Swiplings swarm through the unpredictable scales between planes and arrived at Ko-O-Ko, the Lost Universe, Captain Billy Bob Begg and her famous Chaos Engineers are prevented from returning to the First or Second Ethers by the activities of Ayesha von Abdul, Protectress of the Lost Universe, and her ruffianly Swipling Corsair allies. Only 7 other ships were successful in pursuing the Swipling swarm all the way to Ko-O-Ko, including those of Captain Quelch, of Sterling, second beast of the Skipling folk, of Ra, first beast of the Skimlings, and of the parasitically held renegade ship of Big Ball and his unwelcome alloy, Capricorn Schultz, banker to the homeboy Tom. 2 other ships are known to have reached Ko-O-Ko, but are at present unaccounted for. Although Captain Billy Bob has tried to warn Ayesha von Abdul that her army of Swiplings means no good to the Lost Universe, the Protectress refuses to listen, even after she has declared her faith in the common great mood and found true love. There seems no saving her, but then Captain Quelch suggests a meeting between himself and Capricorn Schultz, with a view to taking control of the Swipling Horde and conquering Ko-O-Ko in the name of the Singularity. There is nothing for it, Captain Billy Bob decides, but to attempt the dangerous manoeuvre known as the Scale Flip. Her crew of famous Chaos Engineers are unanimous. It will mean a wild dive through to the old Mars station, and an attractor so familiar the ship might just flow to like and reorganise in natal space. It worked once before in the tale of the Mandelbrot sidestep, but everyone had known it was the purest luck, and it would be purest luck once again should they survive. Captain Billy Bob is about to give the order when, suddenly blotting the 4 screens, Captain Quelch's The Linear B appears, casting a significant shadow into the equation. But can Billy Bob stop the progress in time? Now read on. Chapter 1014, Hard Astern on a Rogue Branch. Captain Billy Bob Begg strides through the instrument conference, carrying with her the shadows and dimensions of all her adventures. Some now argue she has Skipling blood.
Her outlines leap in and out of her surrounding aura. Faces, shapes, colours, gestures long forgotten. Her helmet boils with fractal dust normally left behind at any scale jump, and she is contemptuous of disapproval. "They'll never take me or my ship to reality, Doc," she swears, as she bleeds her screen to her enemy's coordinates, so familiar she makes no conscious computation. And there is the face of the original insect, whimsically superimposed upon the haggard hatchet features of Captain Horace Quelch, still not entirely certain if he can afford to gloat just yet. "Ma'am?" "Horace," burbs the revered main type of the Now the Clouds Have Meaning. "You'll let us pass, I hope, for all our sakes." "Singularity is the only commonality I recognize, ma'am. I am never, I hope, ad utrumque paratos. I'll be obliged if you'll edge off this branch line and stick to your own roads in future." "You've been tongue-tickling with Capricorn Schultz," said Captain Billy Bob, with a dismissive eruption of a finger or two, and her chief outline breaks into violent blue and yellow, then red and yellow, then pale green, alarming her enemy, who seems to shrink even from her image. "There's a string of sapphires I can do nothing about," declares Quelch. Another trick of the master banker. Pegarm Pete and Professor Pop crowd about their main type, while Jean de Bohong plugs into his new chest and begins to spark urgently. "Capricorn is the most respectable creature in the multiverse," declares Captain Quelch with a gashy grin, and his eyes blob red. Through some genetic fluke, they would guess, rather than a blip of the screen's 49. "There's 12 other patterns to this," murmurs Professor Pop, passing his calculations to his main type. "He has considered 8. These 4 are free. Ones I have indicated give us maximum roll, unfortunately." A roll and fold maneuver, as I'd feared. Captain Billy Bob applauds their instruments and busies herself with the fussy metaphysics of the problem. But have we any right to the luck we need? "We must pray," says Pegan Pete. "Faith, darling, and the confidence of the just is all that can guide us now." He refers to his main type's secret calling, for she is indeed one of the just. It is her faith rather than her luck that these days her famous engineers trust most. Very well, she says suddenly, and bursts the crystal with a fierce, swift movement.
"You have blinded me, her enemy." Chapter 1015, The Consequences of Pierced Scales. "We'll pour rum on their rear folds before you can peep claw rat to a clam," boasts Capricorn Schultz as he slips his stolen ship into a careless corkscrew, guaranteed to bore into the heart of Ko-O-Ko and terrify the peaceful Swiplings out of the all-protecting grid nest. But he is still unaware of Dilly D. Begg, a stowaway, crawling even now through the nauseating gaps between the mighty walls of a Singularity heavy warper, badly modified for folding and poorly maintained by Big Ball, the renegade, who never planned to take her anywhere but into the field of indigo and make a living off the passing skimling trade. "This is no retirement for an old creature," he complains, but by now he has been strapped into his brochette and glares moodily at the steel spike jutting upwards between his thickly scarred tentacles. This is not pain, it is mere indignity. He has noted the whispering presence of Dilly D. Begg and has not betrayed her. He returns to his B screen and has repeated images of Big Ball devouring Capricorn Schultz of the homeboy tong. Ah, blood. Blood. But Capricorn Schultz turns suspicious glares on all his colleagues now, convinced that Captain Quelch has betrayed the original agreement. He is impatient with the sluggish controls and eventually explodes through the hull, spreading his blue wings against the wide paleness of Ko-O-Ko, the lost universe, determined to discover and leech the now the clouds have meaning, while Dilly D. Begg wrestles with the ruined controls. Chapter 1016, Return to the Amber Trail. At the heart of a field of Ceres and yellow flame gradually crystallizing to form the familiar home dragon, suggesting they must be close to the Martian scaling station, Captain Billy Bob Begg drew comfort from her crew. All the famous Chaos Engineers were cuddled to their revered main type, lending their faith to hers in an eccentric act of prayer, since they could only now put their trust in the Great Mood. But more than one insect face had regarded them on their journey. More than one insect had shown them the horrors of singularity as if they were proud of themselves. The now the clouds have meaning was unfolding and unfolding at a leisurely rate, like a slow chrysanthemum, which was the sweet-smelling emblem of most Chaos Engineers and further improved their optimism, for they had expected more roll and less of this acceptable undulation in their fall through the scale fields. Little Rapoldo speaks of maps ablaze and fractal loops, desperately attempting to rebond the garden housing and harmonise with the full ship, but Corporal Organ has almost lost hope. "Sweet Rapoldo, sweet pudding, plums for Rapoldo now, we will float now." She bangs like a fire truck. The voice of Capricorn Schultz, the half-hewn, still follows them down the scale. Powerful obscenities guaranteed to agitate their garden and butterfly them to the Great Mood new wear. "I'm too tired," sighs little Rapoldo, no more than a shadow in Corporal Organ's soothing arms. Loop upon loop, branches they're all cul-de-sacs. How can that be? Nature abhors a cul-de-sac. Is it Capricorn Schultz or Captain Quelch? Is it the whole brute power of the singularity? How can we succeed? Hush, diddle, hush. Hush, darling, little Rapoldo. There are no cul-de-sacs in nature, never fear. But the end is close for that one, I think, murmurs Professor Pop in weary sympathy, unable to take any real attention from the upscreen. There's Mars, I can hear her. Tower to Now the Clouds Have Meaning. Tower to Now the Clouds Have Meaning. What is your present scale? Repeat. What is your present scale? We have searched all of the known second ether and found only ghosts and shadows. The famous old warhorse has screwed herself into limbo and lies in a fold nobody can chart. Tower to Now the Clouds Have Meaning. We cannot locate you in the plasma vortex. Please give us your present scale. But Captain Billy Bob Begg and her famous Chaos Engineers are unable to respond to the scaling station. It seems they must drift off scale for all eternity. Oh, behold. Oh, fear. Corporal Organ flings a hand towards the "are they." They all know that sinister shape. Capricorn Schultz has reformed the face of the fly. To be continued.